Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I am your host, Billy Pollihan, and with me, as always, is the, I guess, the deputy Hicks to my Sheriff Dewey, Mr. Raul Rodriguez. Raul is with me, and today is a very special day because not only are we talking a fantastic movie, but we're doing this with a fantastic person. You might know her as the other half of the Digesting franchise, or Digesting Cinema franchise. We've had her co-host on twice before, and now we finally get to have her on, as well as a sometimes manager of the rock stars, the movie Trivia Schmodown. Sometimes, I guess. Miss Christina V, how are you tonight?
I am so excited to be here with my favorite podcast listener. So now I'm excited to be your number one fan since you were my number one fan. And I love this movie, and I'm so excited I get to talk about this one.
And also, like always, I'm Bro Rodriguez, and yes, my lemon squares do not taste like ass. Today we're gonna do the end of the Wes Craven era, Scream 4. A masterpiece that he left us. I have been a number one fan of this movie since it came out. I saw this movie twice on opening weekend. God, I love this fucking movie. What is your relationship with the franchise, Christina?
So I don't have really any like long lasting relationship. You know, obviously we were all in the world in 2020 and we all just had a lot of time to kill. And I am not a horror fan. In fact, I'm a big horror wuss. And my husband was like, I think it's finally time that we expanded your horizons. I think you can handle Scream. And then, you know, the opening of the original Scream is just like probably the greatest 10 minutes of film. But yeah, I was hooked and I watched one a night and, you know, you get your typical sequel stuff. And then I was like, all right, Scream 3 was like not my favorite. So I was like, I don't know how Scream 4 is going to do when you make it so much later and all this stuff. I was all in for Scream 4. Scream 4, I was like, we are back, baby. Like, let's see what they're going to do with this. I am so excited to see the next one because this one was amazing. I think they kept it modern but stayed true to the original tones. And so, yeah, my relationship is basically, I just love these fucking movies.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And yeah, you can curse.
We curse all the fucking time.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I just love these movies, and I am so excited to talk about this one.
No. And it's amazing, you, especially you as a new fan. I have been a fan since the first one came out when I saw it in video. I saw it on video 97. I saw 1 and 2 back-to-back, and then I saw 3 in theaters, and then I saw 4 in theaters. So I have been a Scream fan for almost 25 years.
Ever since you were 30. It's crazy.
Shut up. Yeah, but I still, it was almost two years ago when Billy saw it for the first time. I told you, like, because it's so fucking good. And I even told people, I was like, Scream 4 is like, it's the best one of the sequels. And that's the thing. I have noticed that a lot of Scream 4 still gets a lot of bad rap. Even I saw on Twitter, people were still trying to like debating, like, which one was the better sequel. And a lot of people are always between 2 and 4. And yeah, everybody agrees on 3. Yeah, but just starting, we're going to start like the recap. But I love that it starts with Lucy Hale, for me as a Pretty Liars fan, seeing Aria.
Every single time. It's yes. It's like the It Follows disease. It just, Pretty Little Liars just will never stop.
Told Billy,
it is the bane of my existence.
Scream was a big inspiration for Pretty Little Liars, so you cannot escape that.
Yeah, except it sucked.
I never watched Pretty Little Liars. That was I thought about it, and then I was like, I just can't get into any more TV.
A bullet there. Yeah, I tried to get into it. It was awful. I couldn't get past the first season.
Wasn't that on like ABC Family or Family or whatever it was called?
Oh, ABC Family, a show that had lesbian sex, a lot of killings, bullying, people hanging from churches.
I'm dead.
For all of the family. Oh, yeah, teachers having sex with their students. There was a lot of stuff in Pretty Liars.
Which I'm sure as a teacher yourself, you're just like, yeah, no.
Ew, gross. So gross. I always like, whenever you watch the shows, I'm like, how does that even happen? Because like, they're just so gross. Like,
I agree. But yeah. Yes, let's start out with the most meta opening I have ever seen in a movie. And I don't think anything is going to top this. I'm going to let Raul do it because of Lucy Hale.
Yeah, are you going to reenact it for us, Raul?
Oh, like, I'm going to do whatever I can. The phone rings just like, I was like, oh, let's go watch a scary movie, Saw 4. Nah, I saw that in theaters. It sucks. All that torture porn shit. And it was like, and then we see Arya picking up a knife. Lucy Hale, sorry. I was like, Lucy Hale picking up a knife. And I'm like, me, as a fan that I wanted Arya to be A, I was like, ah. And I was like, well, I like Jigsaw. He kills people very creatively. I was like, but you don't give a shit about the characters because there's no character development, body parts. I was like, who are you texting? Oh, just my fables, the Facebook stalker. He's like, hey, what's up? I love you. I want to kill you. And she's like, delete him. Block him. But he's really hot, though. And shows him a photo. It's like, that's Channing Tatum.
I love that. I love that part. That is like such good trivia. Like, that is such a great trivia question.
Mm-hmm. From his Abercrombie face.
Oh, man. I agree. Just like this whole movie is just a plethora of great trivia questions that you can get from it. Like, there's a lot of trivia in this movie. Just like, oh, yeah, that actor.
Yep.
And then it was like, oh, who is it? It was like, and then we see Ghost. It was like, oh, who is it? It was like, I'm getting very impatient. I was like, I don't care. I'm sorry. You don't have to be a bitch about it. It was like, I'm going to hang up. You hang up on me. I'll cut your neck until off your bone. And she's the other girl's like, who is it? It's for you. Ghostface.
Such who a girl.
Is this? It was like, and then she hangs up and I was like, and we're going to make sure that the door is locked. And then here, ding, ding, it was like, he's stalker boy. And I was like, I dare you to open the window. And then Ari, she's like, it could be anyone. Wayne, Longshot, Channing Tatum. There's nobody here. And then she gets a text. I'm not outside. I'm right beside you. And then she gets stabbed, the Trudy girl. And then we see Arya gets sliced on the neck as she drops them to the floor wearing a yellow shirt like in Pretty Little Liars, like Allison. And I'm like, if I do a Pretty Little Liars sequel, I will kill Arya and Ezra right there. That will be my beginning. And then we see Stab 6 logo. We get to the one of the best parts of this beginning.
Oh yeah, with Anna Paquin and Kristen Bell. All yes. People. I just immediately just went Suki.
Gossip Girl herself, Kristen Bell.
Yeah, a ridiculous amount of like teen actors as well, especially because they're just like, man, this is terrible. And
I have the whole thing.
Then we have Anna Paquin ranting. You can be my guest. Go ahead. I know you want to do it.
It says, I was like, what? You have to be fucking kidding. Anna Paquin and Kristen Bell. What? That was so stupid. The dead horror right here in front of us. I jump. Scare me. A fucking Facebook killer. You're kidding, right? Well, now it will be Twitter. It would make more sense. A bunch of articulate teens. Deconstructing horror movies, it has been done to death. The whole self-aware meta shit. Stick a fork into 1996 already. I like the Stab movies. They're scarier. They're not aliens or zombies or little Asian ghost girls. There's something real about a guy with a knife that just opens a can, snaps. It could really happen. I was like, but I cannot do this. This sequel, they don't know when to stop. They always recycle the same shit. Even the opening scene is killing some random girl. There's no element of surprise. You can see everything coming. And then Kristen Bell stabs Rogue. It was like it's just like, did that surprise you? Why? Because you talk too much. Another stab. Now shut the fuck up and now watch the movie. And then Stab 7 logo. Oh my God. I love it. I have seen it 5 times and it scares me.
We get two false starts. Yes. And it's a movie within a movie.
Yes.
Within a movie. Just think about that.
Me and the theater was like this. Oh my God.
Such a drama queen. But then we actually get our real opening with the characters' names are Jenny Randall and Marnie Cooper, played by Britt Robertson and Julie Taylor from Friday Night Lights. That's all I see her as. which you guys need to watch Friday Night Lights because it's amazing. And they're just like, all right, now this is bullshit. And then they have the whole sequel talk where it's just like, I thought these were supposed to be based on a true story. No, only the first three. And then Sydney threatened to sue, and then they just made up whatever the hell they wanted. Step five has time travel. And that's undoubtedly the worst one. And I'm just like, I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Funny enough, I feel like Happy Death Day to You, which has time travel in there. Yes. I'm like, oh, you think they just took that line from Scream 4 and just decided to go with it? Because they could just do whatever they wanted.
We have to ask the writer of Happy Day that he based it on that line, though.
What you think?
I love it. She's like, but it doesn't make sense. So is the beginning of step 7, step 6, or the beginning of step 6, step 5? So what is step 4 about? You're overthinking it. And I'm like, me as watching Saw movies, this is a joke about Saw 4, 5, and 6, because all of them, they were happening at the same fucking time. And it was so fucking confusing. And I'm like, I get it, Kevin. I get it. Kevin Williamson.
And yeah, and also Saw 5 is the worst Saw movie, so it makes a lot of sense. Well, it's not good.
It's not the worst one, though.
I don't know. I stopped watching after Saw 6, so I'm not watching that spiral Book of Jigsaw crap.
It's good, though.
Not that bad. Though? It's Chris Rock.
Hey, at least it's not fucking Jigsaw. The 8th one, that was crap. That's the worst one of all of them.
Maybe, but then we get our actual opening where it's just like, oh, it's just some idiot doing the ghost face thing. I love how nonchalant and just, again, self-aware they are about just like, oh, you really think we're going to fall for that shit? Not only do they have like caller ID, but everybody just knows about the ghost face killer because it's just been so long. It's like, I don't know, it's... I can't think of an example right now, but it's one of those common knowledge things, especially in Woodsboro.
Yeah, I just love how they incorporate the technology in, because it's like that was part of it in the beginning. It was like your phone, your landline just rang and you had no idea who was on the other end. Mm-hmm. So now you have to deal with people that have like devices that can outsmart your caller ID on your cell phone, or it's like, or who's going to pick up? You know what I mean? Now we're at an era of like, I'm not going to pick up my phone if I don't recognize the number. Mm-hmm. So the killer would have to hack in and have it be somebody's phone I recognize, or you would have to like murder my friend and steal her phone, or else I'm not answering your phone call. Mm-hmm. So like all of that needs to be incorporated in now too. And like, I think they do a good job with all of that, because if this is like a well-known thing of like the killer calls you, he asks you what your favorite scary movie is, and then he kills you. And they just make fun of the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's also like technically it's also like the form, because the whole movie is about making fun of remakes, and it's also is the basis is the remake of the original, but adding technology and making a commentary of why not to do a remake, but also making it a subversion to make it fresh. That's the thing that I love the most about this movie. Yeah, shut up.
Just make it meta. That's the whole thing. It's just like, just make it about today's shit. But then I love that one of the girls just fucks with the other one. And it's just like, oh yeah, no, that's the Ghostface app.
Right.
Where is this app and where can I get it? Because I would love that just to fuck with people.
Yeah, I don't want that to be a thing. I can't live like that. No.
Because everybody would mess with you so much.
Imagine if the Ghostface app was popular. I'm your Uber Eats driver. I'm already outside.
Yeah. No, that, like, I'm low. Like, if somebody shows up wearing Ghostface when I go see this movie, like, I will go home. Like, I'll wait. Like, I'm not playing with this. I saw the opening of Scream 2. All right. Yeah. I ain't playing that. I saw Scream 2 and I saw Scary Movie. No. If anybody is dressed up as Ghostface in this movie theater, my ass is getting back in my car, going home. I'll catch everybody when it's on streaming or on DVD.
Which, depending on the situation right now, who knows, maybe.
Could be relatively soon.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, we get our traditional actual opening kills. And it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I like the tension behind it. The fact that Ghostface is just like, you're the dumb blonde with the big tits. You're a cliche. And then she's just like, bitch, I have a 4.0 GPA and 135 IQ. I'm not dumb. And he's just like, doesn't matter because we're still going to have fun. And then throws one of them out.
The Marnie.
Yeah, through the window, right at her feet.
And I love it. She's like, the girl, she's like, what happened? Where is Marnie? She's on the cutting room floor. I was like, that's a good line.
So many great dad jokes in this, or just like wordplay. Makes my heart so happy.
You, the master of puns? Mm-hmm. Never.
Yeah, never. And then this girl gets killed by the weight of a garage door.
Kind of like they use the weight of the garage to paralyze her as she's crawling because she's already gotten stabbed.
And also, it almost images Tatum's death, so it's like poetry and rhymes.
I'm gonna kick your ass one of these days, I swear. But yeah, then we get title card, Scream 4, and then everybody is having the big Woodsboro killing anniversary, which I guess was supposed to be like a solemn day of remembrance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, did it seem weird they were like celebrating it? Where there was like, it seemed like it was like a Stars Hollow from Gilmore Girls, like town square, like celebration, like random holiday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like we just shouldn't be like celebrating with. Didn't they have like the Scream masks, like the Ghostface masks, like hanging up on like the lights around like the main street? And you're just like, I just feel like this is not how
this goes down. I think this was the teenagers specifically, though, because even Dewey's, it was like a, wow, one generation's tragedy is the next generation's joke. So I think that was all the teenagers from the school.
I mean, there's a ridiculous amount of lines that even though it was made 10 years ago, they're still really relevant today. Mm-hmm. Because like that line, it's true. Kids don't know about that.
Right.
And I mean, we also get introduced to Sydney looking like a boss, by the way, once again, played by Nev Campbell. And her publicist, played by Alison Brie, whom is just the best because she's basically like Gail in the first movie, but if she was even more like heartless. And yeah, I'll always remember Alison Brie from Community. She's also great in Glow, which it's bullshit that show was canceled.
Yeah, that's one of the shows that the pandemic canceled. But yeah, so Sydney is back in Woodsboro because she's promoting her book, Out of Darkness. And also we see Dewey and Gail waking up. And Dewey is like getting out like to his ship. And then we get introduction of Claire Bennett. I'm sorry, Kirby. Kirby speeding.
Oh, can we have like a moment just to like talk about how hot Kirby is in this movie? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Please.
I was like, damn girl, you are working that. Hashtag justice for Kirby. That bitch better be alive in the next movie because she is too hot to kill. That should have just, they faked her out. They stored her body somewhere. I don't know because her hair was fine. Her body was fine. Her face was fine. I need more Kirby.
I agree. I mean, they have to save the cheerleader. Save the world. Come on. But no, seriously, Kirby is probably my favorite of the new characters just because of how, well, she's actually very similar to Tatum where she just doesn't give a shit about anything and is just super laid back and you just want to hang out with her. You want to be her friend.
I love her swagger. She's also swagger for days and she's hot.
I couldn't have said it any better myself.
So much. She's way hotter than Jill. Just pointing it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then talking about Jill.
Yeah.
And then we see that Kirby picks up Jill. The first time I ever remember seeing Emma Roberts on a movie. Because later, I think I saw that movie Nancy Drew. I think after Scream 4. So this was my first introduction to Emma Roberts. And also, everybody knows her from American Horror Story. But yeah,
I have loved Emma Roberts ever since she was in Unfabulous.
Unfabulous on Nick, yes!
On nice. Nickelodeon. I loved her ever since.
I never seen that show.
It was a generational thing.
If you were a middle schooler when it came out, it was like Lizzie McGuire and Unfabulous were like, you were like, I am these people. Like
They were the chick shows, but I watched them. I never knew that I watched them.
That's right up there with Ned's Declassified. So
yes, I love Ned's Declassified. God, you're saying all the right stuff. But I know, then we also amazing. Get their friend Olivia,
who is also hotter than Jill. I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't understand why Jill thinks she's the shit. Maybe probably because she knows she's not the hottest. That is very typical of girl. I'll get you guys into the inner psyche of how girlfriend groups work. If you're clearly not the hot one, you're the obnoxious one because you have to make up for the fact that you're just like not naturally pretty. And that's Jill to a T. Like everything is about her and the drama and the boyfriends and all this stuff. And it's because she's the least hot friend.
The narcissism in Jill. Yeah. I mean,
it needed to be about her because it was never right. Because you have to think her whole life, it was never about her because she was Sydney's cousin. And then it's obviously not about her as a teenager because her friends are too pretty. So she's really having like a whole like attention crisis because it's never been about her and her boyfriend cheats on her. So again, it's not about her. So this girl just needs a lot of love. Like we should have known from the start that this bitch was cray.
I love that analysis about Jill. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And so they're driving. Jill gets a call from Ghostface. What is your favorite scary movie? And they notice that they were... That is comes from Marnie and the name of the other girl that he just got killed. And then they get to a school, to the high school, and then we see the other characters, Robbie and Charlie, especially Robbie, with a thing that it was not going to be a thing until a few years later, technically using a version of a GoPro.
It's the early version of Twitch.
And that Twitch, too, is the early version of Twitch.
He was the first Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because he was... It was live streaming the whole time, right? It wasn't just recording? Okay.
He was live streaming the whole thing.
Which, like, every YouTuber now does. Or, like, just like, hey, guys, what's up? And, like, back then, YouTube, when somebody made a hit on YouTube, they, like, blew up. It was very rare. But now, nobody ever does that anymore because anybody can make a camera. There's so many people.
Yeah, there's too much content now. But back then it was, I mean, I remember being in college and be like, everyone would be like, did you see this YouTube video? And it'd be like, everyone knew the YouTube video because there was like, you know, just one a month that like went viral.
No, especially in those times, I remember that those little Kodak cameras, I think it was called like Go Video or something video flip. I think like there was like a really small SD card. And, like, there were different colors, and everybody was using it to block. But, of course, it didn't have the internet. But I'm like, it felt kind of like Kevin Williamson was already predicting the future. Because that was technically the decade of the 2010s. It was about streaming, internet, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the whole social media thing. This movie was ahead of its time.
It really was. And the thing that irritates me about... Charlie's Kieran Culkin, who is on Succession. And what irritates me is his hair. I'm just like, dude, how come your hair is like longer than Sydney's at this point? Like, come on, man. You just have like serial killer vibe all over you. And of course, the Robbie, the live stream guy, this is just the typical nerdy guy. He asks out all the hot girls. He's very clearly just, it's a teenage thing. He's very insecure, and I love that after we got the quote-unquote Billy and Sydney parallel between Jill's ex-boyfriend Trevor, who's just like, I still love you, and she's just like, what you did, that wasn't... I forget what the line was.
Yes, I was like, that was not proper, especially how you you broke up with me and you cheated on me.
That wasn't a breakup. That was a betrayal. Yeah. I was just like,
been like, all right, Olivia Rodrigo, calm down.
Yeah. Hey, and do you notice the Henry Winkler statue right next to Jill and Kirby?
No, I did not.
No, holy shit. That's a
That scene when Kirby's talking with Jill and she's opening her... That's an American thing. That's not in Mexico. That thing with school that you open your closet.
Your locker.
Thank you. Your locker. And she's opening her locker. And then we see right behind Jill, we see the face of Henry Winkler, him smiling. And there's a statue of him.
I never knew that.
That's a good Easter egg.
Yeah. Right after this, that's when we go to the bookshop. And then we see that we see that Sydney is reading. She's like, I always have the role of the victim. So I wanted to rewrite myself a role of a woman who could leave the walls of fear behind, step back into the sunlight out of darkness. And also Gail, she hasn't written a book in years because she married Dewey. So she's no longer a reporter. And she's like, I love this one. She's on the computer. I was like, I'm going to reinvent myself. I don't know what the fuck to write about.
Yep. And she has Apple computer, which yes. not many people had back then. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like it's more common. But again, movie's ahead of its time. It's crazy. And then they go to the bookshop. And I love that Alison Brie is just like, after this emotional, like, I'm not going to be the victim sort of passage where you hear it like every like self-help group or whatever. She's just like, okay, so then your copies are right over there. Oh,
this is a statue right here.
That is awesome. Raul That's just showed so us the Henry Winkler statue.
Yeah, for the nerds, it's minute 18 with 0 seconds.
Wow. So at exactly the 18 minute mark. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then they find out, because now the big three are here, because Gail comes over to see Sydney, mm-hmm. and I guess it would help with her writer's block. And then Dewey comes over with his new deputy Judy Hicks, played by Wendy Peppercorn from The Sandlot.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, it's weird, like you're... She's one of those people where it's like, you seem familiar. And then I found out, oh yeah, that is Wendy Peppercorn. And she is the most obvious red herring in the world. She is weird, man. But she's also just awkward. She makes lemon squares, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious to see what they taste like.
Yeah, they made her like so by the book. They made her so opposite of Dewey. Mm-hmm. Especially when he was the deputy, because they always made him seem like he was such an idiot. Mm-hmm. And then he was like super badass, and then he was an idiot, and now he's bad. I don't know. I hope they figure out what they want to do with Dewey, because it was too all over the place. But they made her like very by the book. So it was mm-hmm. just like, all right, now we take law enforcement seriously here.
She's like the campus police. They think that they're hot shit.
Yes.
She's a deputy in a like, town in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. Nobody cares, dude.
Right.
Not like the other deputies played by Anthony Anderson and Seth Cohen from The OC, Adam Brody. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's
all the help they were.
They were totally useless, which is a total horror cliche where mm-hmm. you get the cops that just can't do their job. It's a cliche as old as time, but I believe that they traced the phone to the rental car, and then they pop the hood, and there's just somebody's framing Sydney, but they mm-hmm. all know that she didn't do it because I mean, it's Sydney Prescott.
Well, they've seen the other movies,
and they've mm-hmm. seen yeah. Stab 1-7. They yeah, know how so. It goes.
Well, 1-3, the original trilogy was based on Sydney. The other ones that were making shit up.
Yeah, but were they all direct? Travel.
Sorry, but were they all directed by Robert Rodriguez? That's the question I want.
That's know. The thing we don't know, though.
See, that's another great trivia question.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think Step 5 was directed by Michael Bay.
That would not surprise me.
I was say, is that your own headcanon?
It's my headcanon, yes.
I'm going to go J.J. Abrams, because that seems very Lost-ish if you're going to do time travel.
Oh, maybe Step 4 was directed by Sam Raimi, or Step 7.
I would love to see a Scream movie directed by Sam Raimi. I don't know if it would work, because his style is very specific, mm-hmm. but that would be pretty cool. It would at least look awesome. Yeah, I believe that's when Dewey signs some police patrol where Sydney's at, just give her some security, mm-hmm. and she's staying at her mom's sister's place, because her mom had a sister. That we never knew of. Right. Played by Stands with a Fist from Dances with Wolves.
Oh. Yeah, I definitely... That was super weird. Like, it was never mentioned that your mom had a sister that lives in the same town that she lives in.
But talking about continuity, because Maureen, her name was Maureen Roberts, so we already knew about the last name, though. So at least we didn't know she had a sister, but they're keeping up with continuity about the Roberts thing.
It's like the Fast and the Furious franchise. It's like, oh, here's somebody's brother or sister that we are only now meeting. It's like, yeah, it's bullshit, right. But
and
you buy it.
Also, Galen, do we have an argument? Because Dewey's like, I'm sheriff now. You cannot know all of the information, Gail. You're no longer a reporter. And I'm like, oh, so I'm going rogue. And then she tells Judy, and also your lemon squares taste like ass. And Dewey's like, no, they're not. No, they're not.
It's so genuine, too.
And I love when Dewey's meeting up with Olivia, Jill, and Kirby. I was like, oh, yes, we both got a call. And then they tell, and you, Kirby? No, I didn't get a call. Wait, are you saying that maybe I'm not going to live as long as these two? Dewey, maybe. Kirby's like, I'm going to be next.
Yeah, like, what does it mean if you don't get a call?
Yeah, now she gets insecure. But yes, after this, we get our deja vu moment. Sorry. And that is when Jill's ex-boyfriend Trevor comes into her room through the window with a ton of police around, shows you how effective the police are.
Right.
And he, again, doing the same shit. I came to see you, see if you were safe and stuff. And she's just like, no, I'm fine. I'm not the victim. And then Sydney walks in and she's clearly having like Vietnam flashbacks in her eyes. Where she's just like, oh God, this is like Billy. And she even says that to Jill. She's just like, you just remind me of me. Also lock your window.
And also I love when Allison Brie is waiting for Gail outside of the precinct and sees Gail. It's like, I'm just going to have to geek out. You wore my 90s. And also, and I cannot believe you married Dewey. Like, your character is step 3. And I'm like, and you're married as long as them. Even though I thought it was never going to be real. And I'm like, that's a Mera moment. Because when Scream 4 came out, Courtney Cox and Debra could just divorce.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. That's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were like, it was Courtney Cox Arquette for a while. And then,
yeah,
10 years ago, it just didn't work out. But it's good to know that they're still friends.
Yeah, they're really good friends. And then we see.
Well, I'm friends with people for money, I'm sure. You know?
I mean, it's.
It helps.
Sorry, the background, Raul.
I know, is the elotero, the corn guy.
Well, the corn guy has the freaking, it sounds like a clown nose, and it cracks me up every time.
Yeah, and so then stupid. We get into the creepy Judy scene, because Judy, she's just there in the dark by the stairs. She's like, oh, you don't recognize me, don't you? We were in high school together, and we were in a play. I was a lost boy and you were Tiger Lily. She was like,
that was weird. Did that have anything to do with the rest of the movie?
I think it was only for a red herring for you to suspect of Judy, though.
Giving like her I said, a backstory. She's weird as shit. Yeah. Also, she's just standing in the shadows in the corners, just like, hey, we went to high school together. It's also kind of real because you know those kind of people where they just kind of scare you. I know, I am.
Yo. Most definitely, and it's super uncomfortable, and I have had unfortunately way too many of those experiences that maybe I'll tell you after the podcast.
And then we get into another Ghostface call when Jill getting a call from Trevor, but it's Ghostface, and then Kirby was like, well, she doesn't want to talk to you, Trevor. I was like, this is not fucking Trevor. I was like, come on, Mr. Ghostface, ask me something. I'm like, and it was like, oh, how's the movie? How do you know that we're watching a movie? Which one? Shaun of the Dead. It was like, I'm standing in the closet.
This part was so good.
Yes.
So good. This was such a good, because you're like, okay, they're definitely going to be in here because it's a horror movie. This part was great. And this is why this movie is good. Because they get you on these like fake out moments that are extremely well done. They do not seem out of place. They do not seem corny. I mean, this part is probably the best kill of the whole movie.
Yes.
Oh, it's up there. It just stretches the tension about as far as you can possibly stretch it. And I love that. Oh, okay. First of all, quick shot of Olivia's at the other, like across house. The street at mm-hmm. her house.
Their neighbors.
For some reason. And
that's where she lives, right?
That's yeah. yeah, that's where she yeah. lives because she didn't want it to stay with Jill because she fears the Green Reaper because that was a nickname that he gave to Sydney.
I mean, that's terrible, but children are cruel. Mm-hmm. But then we also just see Jill and Kirby just messing with Olivia, and she's just like, that's the worst impression you have ever done. But they feel like actual high school girls.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, granted, they were like 30 when they made it, but that's also a cliche. It's not as bad as Grease or Dear Evan Hansen, I can tell you that.
Oh, or Glee.
Or Glee. Yeah, don't even get me started on Glee. But then Glee. We see they open the closet. Nobody's there. And then they're like, it's not our closet. Boom! Comes out of Olivia's closet. And she gets messed up, too. Oh, she gets stabbed in the hand. She's trying to fight off.
Mm-hmm.
But gets stabbed like 3 or 4 times in the gut.
They get pushed by the window, gets dragged again to the bed, gets stabbed like 5 more times in the gut.
Her head smashed through the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of it, her room looks like a Jackson Pollock painting. It's just blood everywhere. And then you see her mm-hmm. like with her guts out. And I didn't expect it to go that graphic because Scream, like, it has some minor gore, I guess, or like mm-hmm. minor blood effects, but it had never gone that graphic
before. Yeah, no.
I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, they upped the ante on that one.
I think maybe they did it because of the Saw factor, because by around 2011, it was almost the time by Saw 6. And I was like, maybe they wanted to up the ante just to compare because they were making fun of horror movies now. So maybe they also, because remember the beginning, it was like that torture porn shit. So maybe they wanted to do a torture porn kind of dead. Even though we did care about this character, though, even though she was there only for 10 minutes. And then Ghostface, it was like a welcome home, Sydney. Preview of coming events. Where do you come from me? You don't have the balls for that? Oh, poor Sydney. You think everything is about you? You think that you're still the star? This is not a fucking movie. It will be.
So, yeah, then we get our Halloween moment because the killer comes and tries to kill Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And well, first Jill, and she gets her arm slashed, much like Tatum and Derek in the past two
mm-hmm.
or the first two movies. And then Sydney manages to kick the Ghostface killer in the face, knock mm-hmm. him out, and then put him on the floor. And then the deputies come in, the useless deputies come in. They're just like, oh, where is he? And she's like, he's right there. And then I was expecting, Halloween moment.
Oh my God.
Because they disappeared, but you see the back door just close. And I would just be like, go around back. What are you waiting for?
And you know what? When you say Halloween, I was like, I hope that the new Scream doesn't do the new Halloween thing of like the final confrontation between Sydney Prescott and Ghostface. If they do that shit, I'm going to just walk out of the theater.
Hey, evil dies tonight.
Oh my God.
Evil dies. But then Trevor comes in because he's clearly also a red herring and is supposed to be Billy. And they're just like, oh, I heard noise and everything. And then Jill is just like, no, don't come near me. She said you were the Grim Reaper. Seems to be in shock.
And also, this little moment when Sydney gets out and we see all of the cop cars, and I love these random women in the background. We thought this was over. It's all your fault, Sydney. You're just like your mother. And I'm pitching a show right now, a spinoff, The Karens of Woodsboro, coming soon to Paramount Plus.
Oh, God. What happens after this? Oh, yes. Sydney gets taken to the hospital with mm-hmm. Jill, obviously, to get patched up. And then...
Gail meets the nurse.
She does. And also, Allison Brie is just like, oh, this is going to be so good for you, publicity and stuff. And it's just like, your book sales are going to go up 100% tops. And
I was like, they want to lock you for 3 books and you can do whatever you want. You can get paid how much you want to. She's like, did you read my book? I was waiting for the movie. And she's like, but man, embrace it. You write for all of those fucking fucks that they like think they're in the end of the tunnel and they're gonna kill themselves. Just embrace it. You're the victim. If you notice, the whole pattern also about the movie is about Sydney not being tagged as the victim. That's also the whole message of the movie too.
Yeah, feminism.
And her just like, you know, finally being the grown up. Like in the first movie, she's like, she's a young woman. You know, she's a teenager. She's in college. And it's like, and I think that's like a parallel to your life too, where it's like, dude, like I know I was a train wreck when I was a teenager in my early 20s. And now I'm like, look, I'm a bad bitch now. I'm in my 30s. I got my shit together, kind of. I have a cat, you know? I keep something else alive.
That hit me because I am in my mid-20s right now and I still don't have my shit figured out.
Yeah, because you're in your mid-20s. You're still supposed to be a total bit of a train wreck of a human, and that's okay.
Yeah, much better than high school, though. I can guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we get my favorite kill of the movie, because then, once again, like the Olivia kill, the tension is stretched as far as you can take it. Without it being ridiculous. And it's really good because it's just like, it's Alison Brie. She's talking to herself as well. She's just like, fine. Fuck. She'll come around. She needs her cash cow. And then, of course, she gets the phone call. My favorite line in the movie also happens when Ghostface is just messing with her. And it's just like,
you want the line?
I want to talk to Sydney. And then she's just like, yeah, Sydney's right here. And then she can't get into her car because the car alarm goes off. And then they're like, Ghostface is like, no, that doesn't sound like Sydney in the hospital. But I can get you in the hospital. In the morgue!
It's like fucking great line.
Oh my god, I laughed. It's funny, but it's also just like, that's pretty good.
But that's exactly how you would deliver the line if you were Ghostface. That would be your the way you would handle that.
Yeah, and then she gets chased by Ghostface, and then the handle went out from their door, and then she gets stabbed, and then we see Dewey doing, like in the original, seeing the sheriff doing the reporting. Gail is in the front. I was like, don't you think that maybe this is a pattern like the original Woodsboro Murders? And I was like, please, honey, not right now. And then they look up and then they see Alison Brie from the top of the parking garage going straight to the news van.
Boom! Defenestrated.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then, I mean, to Dewey's credit, he's just like, guys, get up there. Nothing's there, Sheriff. And then, got this under control, huh? Yeah, I have a lead. You don't.
Let me know when you're back on Team Gale. That's a Twilight joke.
Twilight, yeah. Or Hunger Games?
That too. Yeah, it was happening at the same time.
Because I was never Team PETA. I was always Team Gale. I just want to throw that out there.
I know.
It's because he's a Hemsworth. That's why.
He can't compete with
a Hemsworth.
He was so... They didn't do justice in that casting. But I digress. We'll go back to this movie. I'll catch you later for the Hunger Games talk.
Ooh,
maybe. Well, I mean, Twilight, that might happen sooner than you think.
Yeah.
So, then after
the cinema club scene.
Oh yeah, the cinema club. They got a bunch of awesome posters.
Well, I love that. Eventually, Gail's like, you know, screw this. Like, we can't do things the way we used to. Look, we got to get in with these kids. So we have to like start working with this new generation because they just know things that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And this killer isn't operating the same way that the previous killers have. Like Gail's on it. She's like, times are changing.
Yeah.
We have to change our tactics. Like, you know, they're going to meet a local celebrity. Like, let's make it, you know, worth their while. Cause I'm Gail Weathers. And that's like, they're into film club.
No, and I love when Gail, she's like, well, you can invite me. I'm a celebrity. I was like, yeah, but you can get a Sydney. She's the Daniel Radcliffe to my J.K. Rowling.
Oh boy.
And, oh my god, yeah. Yeah.
Then they go in and explain the new rules. Well, first they're just like, we have very special guests here. Sydney Prescott, by the way. Sure not totally dragging up traumatic life events again for like the third time in a row.
Yep.
Possibly fourth time because first Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about you're basically everything that you think is going to happen is going to be subverted in any reboot, remake, or just any franchise.
But now the reversals become the new standard.
The reversals become the new standard, and everybody is screwed unless you're gay. you're safe if you're gay.
Oh my god!
Right, because it used to be that virgins were safe, but now it's you're safe if you're gay. That's like the new rules.
That is bullshit, by the way.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah, and
then they decide that everything, they're like, so the next thing is going to be that everything culminates at the party. Mm-hmm. That's the next thing in a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay, so, oh, actually, Raul, do you have the specific rules? I'm curious.
Well, the specific rules is like, it will be the rule for a remake, though. So it sounds like all of the remakes right now, this is the only thing that studios greenlight. Modern audiences get savvy with the rules and the new standard. And I was like, especially now with the reversals, you have to be gay. And then Gay was like, how do we know it's the structure for a remake? The staff structure is pretty apparent. Two kids kill in a house when their parents are not around. The hottest person gets brutally murdered. And then a party. A third act main character's bloodbath. And I was like, you know what party's going on? Stabathon. And then Gail and Sydney was like, well, there's a killer party in the original movie. I was like, you tell us where it is. I was like, no, we're not going to tell you. It's a secret thing. Are you ready for the Q&A? Gail was like, fuck you. And so that's the thing. There was not kind of like a lot of rules about the remake. It was just the only rule was the, like the reverses are now the new standard in the gay thing.
Yeah. And everything's live streamed, by the
way. Yeah. And the live stream because their theory is that now the killer will live stream everything.
So that's true. They want to be seen doing it. And that's just a thing of narcissism. You want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally not a clue.
Yeah.
I've had this conversation with my students and I was like, guys, you need to please stop filming your crimes that you are committing. Mm-hmm. Like the TikTok challenge of trashing the bathrooms. Stop doing that. And two, seriously, stop filming yourselves.
That's a thing?
That was a thing?
It's like it was a TikTok challenge of the month in September, and it was you had to like trash the bathrooms and like steal the soap dispensers and stuff. Oh. They would do it. And
why would you record yourself doing that? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't.
I was imagining a most gnarly version of fucked up a bathroom, though. Because
remember when messing up the bathroom was just putting a cherry bomb down the toilet? Yeah, now it's just like we're stealing the soap dispensers.
Yeah,
all that shit. That's just takes time.
Yeah, they would come back from the bathroom and be like, do you have hand sanitizer? I couldn't wash my hands. I'm like, this is so gross.
Ugh, especially now. Come on, what's wrong with you kids?
I know. It's so gross. But yeah, so the live streaming thing is definitely a thing, and they don't even care if they're committing crimes. So I can say that with like utmost certainty that
I mean there's even adults that do that. It's just like, hey, I'm more power, because that just means we're going to put your ass in jail.
The thing I really enjoy about this movie is that, like, it really does, like, basically tell you who the killer is, like, pretty upfront, like, all of the time.
Yeah.
But you don't want to believe it. And I know I said this in out before we started recording, but, like, with this movie, it was like a sequel and a reboot. So it was like, were they going to kind of switch it up? Was it just going to be some, like, random guy that just wanted to wreak havoc? Is it going to be a character that we've known and like gotten to know? Like, how much of a main character is it? So even though, like, obviously hindsight's 20/20, when you watch it more than once, you like pick up on the fact that they're basically like, these are the killers. It couldn't be more obvious. I think the movie does a great job of keeping you guessing pretty much until the end reveal.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a great sign of a good movie. Like, I think of Get Out. Like, once you know the twist, you can rewatch it, and then you pick up on, like, certain things of dialogue, or how a character acts, or why they do certain things, and then you're like, oh, it totally recontextualizes why they do that. And that's another thing about Scream. It's a very rewatchable franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's not many horror movies that have great sequels that are rewatchable because they fall off the deep end really quick. There are plenty of examples for that. But this is the fourth film in a franchise from a director. This is his fourth try. You would think at this point that he would just be so done with it. And it's really sad also to know that I think this was Wes Craven's last movie.
I think it was.
But, I mean, what a way to go out, man.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go to the Stabathon. And honestly, it looked pretty fun. Like, I would love to watch movies with my friends in a barn, like with all the costumes and decorations yeah. and stuff.
No. Your idea of fun and my idea of fun are not the same thing. One, I pee sitting down in those bathrooms. They did not look like they have working bathrooms. So I'm already out for that because your girl's going to have a stab-a-thon. That means that's a lot of movies. Your girl's going to have to use the bathroom several times.
I mean, they got four bodies.
So, like, I ain't trying to – I'm not down with that. And, like, you know how I feel about scary movies. So, no, I would not be attending stab-a-thon. Like, not even a small part of me would be attending that.
But it's just like any movie in general, it would be really fun to do.
If it was not as horror, then maybe. But like, I do not. It doesn't matter. All my friends could go. I don't care. I don't go. I don't fall into peer pressure when it comes to that stuff. I do not want to go. I'm not going.
I'm not going
to Stabathon. I'm not going. So
like, you're not far too sensitive, like Stu.
Yeah,
I like that. You are definitely the Sydney Prescott of this scenario. I could totally believe guys. That.
And then we see that Gail that is right there at Stabathon. And also Kirby arrives. And then we see Gail in a Ghostface mask planting a lot of cameras. As we see Robbie and Charlie inaugurating the Stabathon. Was like, we're going to drink every time that someone cannot get a cell phone signal. Every time that someone closes a door or a refrigerator and a harmless character is there. And when someone screams, no, and then we see the movie starting, and then a trivia that it was pretty new that Robert Rodriguez directed the first Stab movie in their universe.
I kind of want to see a Robert Rodriguez Scream movie as well, because we have talked about him a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
and definitely Robert Rodriguez month is on the table for yes. sure. I would love that. And it's just, I love that they go out of their way to really just go all out for the parodies within yes. the movie. Cause like in Scream 2, we get the opening scene recreated with Heather Graham as Casey. Yep. They didn't need to do that, but they mm-hmm. did it because it seemed like fun. And also Scream was a big thing back mm-hmm. then. So everybody tried to get a little bit of that cash. And then we get the live streaming throwback to the first movie, Gail setting up cameras trying to catch the killer.
Yeah.
Except there's no 30-second delay this time because technology has evolved.
Yeah.
Yep.
If only there wasn't that 30-second delay, Kenny would still be with us. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, goat.
Oh my god. And then Gail talks to Dewey. And I was like, come on, help me. We're partners. I was like, and also like here at Stabathon. You have to do a remake to outdo the original. Come on. It's a party about the Stab movies. How meta can you get? And then she of course, Dewey hangs up. And then Gail notices that all of her cameras are getting covered by something else. And notice that Ghostface is already there. So she goes and follows. And exactly when Dewey arrives and sees her car and sees one of the cameras already Ghostface, already chasing her, and then she gets stabbed in the shoulder. And I thought in this moment when I saw it in theaters, I thought that this was gonna be Gail's death scene for real, because it would have been really meta and kind of like also poetic that Gail was getting murdered exactly with her creation, with the Stab movie playing out on the background, because we hear Heather Graham screams and everybody making fun of it. And it would have been a really dark joke of seeing Gail dying in that moment with her creation and looking at herself and looking at Ghostface. I don't know. In this moment, when I was in it, I thought that Gail was going to be done for.
Yeah, I definitely thought they were going to kill her off. When I, the first time I saw this, I was like, yep, this is it. This is the move. They're going to make the power move right here. They're going to kill off Courtney Cox.
But then it's the subversion where instead of Dewey, we get Gale gets the close brush with death. Except this was intentional and not because of test audiences. Which that's the only reason why Dewey survived in the first movie was because test audiences really liked the character and they didn't want him to die. So they added on the scene with him in the ambulance, which it makes a lot of sense now in hindsight when you see the movie.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so Gale gets taken to the hospital, so she's out for the third act. Mm-hmm. And then we just get Adam Brody and Anthony Anderson just messing around in the car. And they're doing cop shit where they're just sitting there, just shooting the shit.
And they're like, they always said that the cars guarding the house, they always get it. Except Bruce Willis, though. I was like, also you die your days from retirement or a rookie with a pregnant wife. And then Anthony was like, I'll be right back. Oh, shit, you cannot say that, right? Well, it's new decade, new rules. I was like, you might come back and find me dead.
And he's like, I got this. And then they go out, do a little perimeter check, or Adam Brody does. And he's just like, I don't see anything. And then he comes back, scares the crap out of Anthony Anderson. He's just like, you thought I was just gonna. But then you just see Ghostface running up, boom, stabbed in the back, literally. There's a lot of stabbing in the backs.
And then Anthony Anderson getting stabbed in the middle of his face. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, right in the middle of his forehead.
I was like, here.
Oh, was that way?
Yeah.
That was the ear.
That was Amar Epps in Scream 2.
Okay.
Yeah. But then you just see the blood just gushing from him. And I believe Anthony Anderson did this because he saw a story about this where somebody was still trying to fight even though they were bleeding out. But he's bleeding out so much that he can't see, but he's still just swinging the air trying to fight Ghostface. Then he just collapses and just goes, fuck Bruce Willis, guys. Thank you, Dad. My dad just... Nice. They're watching the game right now.
And then we see that Sydney gets a call from Ghostface. I was like, Sydney, you think that everything is about you. You still think that you're the survivor. Come on. Turn on the TV on channel 6. Watch the teaser. And then now Sydney knows that Gil got stabbed. I was like, friends count, Sydney, but the family ties cut deep. The strongest part is family. And I was like, the only thing that you can do is watch. As we see that they notice that the cops are not there, and then we see Kate, her technically aunt.
Yeah, just her aunt. She's just like, they do the fake jump scare thing, or it's just like, oh, somebody's here. Oh, no, it's her. She's just like, I just got back from shopping.
Like, yeah.
7 at night on Friday. Well, I guess if you don't have any other option. But yeah, she's just like, oh, yeah, no, I'm just home. I'm here. But then they're like, wait, something's wrong. Where's Jill? Because we haven't seen her.
And they noticed that Jill went to Kirby. And then Ghostface attacks them. And then I really like this kill, but at the same time, I'm thinking of the logic behind it of Kate getting stabbed by the mail thing on the door.
Oh, the mail slot. Yeah.
Yeah, the mail slot. I was like, interesting though, but I was like, did you put out the knife first this way, sideways, and then you put it up right? I was like, how do you get it in so fast and stop her? And then I was like,
we need Adam and Jamie from Mythbusters to test this myth. Now I'm curious. But then what kills me though is just the dramatic music playing. I'm like, yes. I'm like, I mean, barely I knew get her. It. But yeah, you barely knew her. And it's like, oh no, Sydney's aunt.
Right, her other mother figure that we never knew about.
Yeah, and Jill's mom, no.
No.
Oh, yeah, I guess she was Jill's mom.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Jill didn't really seem to give a shit because she was really rude to her mother earlier also.
Yeah.
She was a total bitch to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Because she's the least hot friend.
That's true. She is the duff.
And then
she's the duff.
we get into Kirby's house, and we see that Charlie is like, oh, no one is going to stop my marathon. We're going to see step 7 right now. And then Charlie's like, wow, Kirby, you have a really good collection here. Suspiria, Don't Look Now. I was like, who plays Leatherface? I was like, Gunnar Hansen. And he's like, can you feel that? That charge that moved between us? And then Kirby was like, that was me. I have powers. So I was like, Heroes meta joke?
But no, seriously, I was just like, I am like, if I meet somebody like that, like, bet your ass I'm gonna ask them out, because that's just like, yes. I was like, damn,
I would definitely date Kirby. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's for just sure. so cool.
It's just, she loves horror, and she's just totally chill with everybody. She doesn't seem to have a problem with anybody, and yeah, she seems to have her shit figured out too, which you can't say that about most teenagers.
Well, you think about it, Kirby is kind of like a mix of Tatum and Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it.
And also, justice for Randy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was bullshit. Except for that stupid goatee.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just hoping Randy and Kirby are secretly alive. I'll even throw Stu in there. Please. Somebody should have frozen them.
Oh, my God.
Well, they're in our hearts, so that's what counts. But yes, then, so it's Jill, Kirby, Charlie, and Robbie are there. But then suddenly Trevor shows up, and he's just like, I was invited. And they're like, why would we do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like Kirby's like, why are you in my house?
Yeah, also, he just showed up in her house. Like, just like appeared.
Yeah, just like let himself in. It's not like he rang the doorbell.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just like, the entire time, I'm just like, dude, just use the front door. Like, stop appearing in people's rooms as well. And then he's just like, yeah, Jill texted me, and she's just like, no, I didn't. Also, where is my phone, by the way? Mm-hmm. She's only now asking this. Very suspicious.
And then we see that Robbie is outside, and he's live streaming, and then he gets stabbed by Ghostface. I was like, come on, no, man, there are rules. I'm gay, if it helps. And then he gets stabbed again. and then we see Jill and Kirby. They're like, hey, you didn't saw Trevor? I was like, no. I was like, well, he went to look for you. And then she opens the door, and Sydney is there, and they notice that Robbie is dead. And then they're getting chased by Ghostface. And then Sydney is like, come on, Jill, go under the bed. And then she's like, go, Jill, run. And then Ghostface is chasing Sydney by the edge of the second floor of the house. But then Sydney survives, but Sydney called Dewey. So it was like, hey, I'm at Kirby's. And then she runs back. She meets with Kirby. And this is one of my favorite scenes, because this is Kirby big scene.
Oh, with the trivia. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
And before that, we saw that her and Charlie were flirting. And then she's just like, you know, I always found you hot. And they were going to go in for the kiss. And then Trevor comes in, cock blocker. And then he's just like, oh, shit, I love this guy. Fucking Ghostface comes in. Boom. Very insulting, because Jill is literally right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Sydney came over to Kirby's to tell Jill about her mom's death.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's there. And then Robbie gets stabbed and killed. Oh, yeah. And then he's like bleeding out and just about to die. And he just goes, run. Boom. Mm-hmm. And then Charlie ends up outside with a bloody hand in the window. They're in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Kirby. And
oh, that part was so sad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And he's just like, oh, yeah, no, this is Robbie's blood. Can you please let me in? And then Sydney's just like, if you don't trust him, don't put him in. Mm-hmm. Or don't bring him in. And he's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
get me in. And then you see him get stabbed in the back, and then the lights go out.
Yeah,
once again, much like, this is kind of like The Force Awakens, where it's very parallel, and we see him tied to a chair with tape on duct tape on his mouth, and like Kirby, Steve. Of course, like Steve, and Kirby has to answer some trivia questions.
But I feel like, even though it does that, where it has the parallels, like, they make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's somebody now that obviously knows the original story, because they've seen the movies and they know the stories from the town because we're back in the town where it started. Mm-hmm. I think if we were in a different town, it would have been corny. But because we're like, it would have been kind of like Hangover Part 2, where it's like you guys are literally making the same movie again.
Yeah.
But this one, it makes sense. It makes sense why they're repeating things, because they're doing it on purpose because they're trying to copycat the original killer. Like, that's the whole point of the movie. So it doesn't come off as like annoying or fan service or just like laziness.
Yeah.
It does come off, I think, in at least in my opinion, is still like genuine filmmaking, and like there's a reason why they're reusing things they did.
Mm-hmm. And then we see that Ghost was like, I heard you like scary movies, Kirby. Forget about style. You get to live it. Come on. Jason's weapon, machete. See? You know it. Michael Myers, butcher knife. God, it was like Leatherface, chainsaw. Freddy Krueger, razor hands. Name the movie that started the slasher craze. Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Last House on the Left, or Psycho. None of the above. Peeping Tom. 1960, directed by Michael Powell. First movie to from the killer's POV.
Give me one. I love that when he's just like, name the killer's weapons. It's all the Slash Street Boys.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever seen those Backstreet Boys horror parodies, they're amazing.
And then I was like, oh, come on, Kiwi, your last chance question. Name the remake of the groundbreaking horror in which the villain, Halloween, Texas Chainsaw, Dawn of the Dead, The Hills Have Eyes, Amityville Horror, Last House on the Left, Friday the 13th, I Nightmare on Elm Street, My Bloody Valentine, When a Stranger Calls, Prom Night, Black Christmas, House of Wax, The Fuck, Piranha. It's one of those, right? Right? I was fucking right. And then she goes outside, unties Charlie. I won, Charlie, I won. Kirby, this is me making a move. Oh, and then it stabs her. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that part. Did anyone see that coming?
No, I was so pissed too. I was like, no, it's my favorite character. She's like, 4 years and you only now notice me? I'm like, oh, fuck, he's an incel.
Yeah, like, bro, guess what? We women, we don't owe you shit, my dude. Yeah. We don't owe you shit.
Okay. Also, cut your fucking hair, dude. Yeah.
You don't get to kill us just because you think we took too long to notice you, bro. Maybe you weren't worth noticing.
Or
get
maybe
on her level.
Or maybe he should have made a move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have been shot down, but at least he would have, you know, been a man. And then we
thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
Yeah. This is a very informative episode.
Then we get to the big reveal.
The big reveal, because we see Charlie. He has, and then we see they left Kirby's demise ambiguous.
Yeah,
because I believe they wanted to make another sequel where she came back, and I really wish that they did. I'm still holding out hope, but it's just like one of those.
We can blame the people that didn't want to see Scream 4 on opening weekend.
Well, that's also because the Weinsteins totally screwed the marketing and buried this movie.
Fucking Weinsteins. Like, Kevin Williamson already had the treatment for Scream 5 and 6. And the original ending, when we get to it, the original ending was so fucking bold of this movie. Because we're going to get to, like, the thing that they reshot.
Oh, yeah, the ending was reshot.
Mm-hmm.
Not like Scream 3, where most of the movie was reshot
for
the worse. This is actually, I kind of like it, but I really would have been interested to see people's reception to the original ending.
Yeah,
but
and so...
Yes, Charlie gets Sydney by the throat with a knife and is just like a...
You think that's still everything about you, Sydney?
And then we see the second ghost face, and it's Jill.
Yo, shook. I was shooketh to my core. Like, to my core, I was shook. I literally couldn't believe it. I think sometimes I still can't. Like, I watched the movie, I'm like, it's not gonna be Jill this time. There's no way.
And she's like, now, cousin, this is the moment where the cameras are turned off. And I'm like,
yeah, they hid the cameras in the mask so that they could record it. I love that it's just, here's some scenes from the movie that you didn't see earlier. It's shot the exact same way. Yeah. Even though it doesn't make any sense because it's a wide shot. It would be POV, but that's just technical shit.
And then we see that Charlie gets from a closet, gets Trevor, and he's wearing almost the same clothes as Sydney's father in the first one, though. It's they almost kind of like the out. Same pattern.
They're like, look familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And then they explain their plan of framing the murders on Trevor. And then...
It sounds like, Sydney, you think that you have a shitty boyfriend, one that fucks you, doesn't even make you famous? And Trevor's like, I love you. I was like, and then Charlie gets like into jail. You shouldn't have killed those people, Trevor. And then shoots Trevor on the dick. Fuck! I still remember when that happened. I was like, damn!
Yeah, that's rough.
You shot him in the... You shot him in the dick, Dick.
Yeah, I was like, and then Joe's like, you're not the girl that you cheat on, and then headshot. And then Joe's like, ready for act three.
I love that the headshot actually includes blood this time, because the one minor thing was whenever anybody got shot in the head, it was just like, boom, clean shot. That wouldn't happen. Your head would become a watermelon.
And then I was like, now Trevor is Billy Loomis, and we're the innocent victims, Sydney and Randy. And then Joe's like, see, with you, the world just heard about what happened. But with us, they're going to see it. It's going to be a worldwide sensation. Like, no one reads anymore. And we're going to know fame like you never dream of. We're the last two teenagers standing. And then Charlie's like, Randy gets the girl. And then Joe's like, I was so believable today. I was born for this. And then tells to Sydney, you know what it was growing up in this family? It was like, Sydney this and Sydney that. You were always so fucking special. And she was like, you're going to slip. I was like, and then Jill and Charlie are recreating the Billy Stu moment. And Charlie's like, come on, do it right here in the shoulder, baby. You can do it. And then I was like, and then it stops him in the heart. Huh? That's not how we practice. And Sydney was like, no, it's Billy. And like Billy and Stu. And then Jill's like, well, you know what? Like the media likes. It likes a soul survivor.
Soul survivor.
Just ask, you know who. And then we see Charlie dying. And then she's like, even your friends. I was like, I don't need friends. In what world you live in? I need fans. Don't you get it? It's not about killing you. It's about becoming you. And I needed to kill my mother just to prove it. I was like, sick is the new sane. You had your 15 minutes now. I want mine. What do you think that I was going to do? Go to college? Work? How do you think that people become famous anymore? You don't have to achieve anything. You just have to have fatal shit happening to you. Sorry, Sydney. New movie, new franchise. And your time is over. And then staff Sydney was like, don't you think that this day was going to come?
It's amazing. Just every single word. There are people that are like that, and that is legitimately terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a movie with Steve from Stranger Things. He was playing a guy that was basically this character.
The Lyft driver?
Lyft driver horror movie, where he's just obsessed with being famous, live streams the whole thing like an idiot. And it's crazy, because and on the one hand, you're like, you can't believe these people exist. But on the other hand, some of what she says is true.
Mm-hmm.
And I just laugh, though, at the, what am I going to do? Work? I'm like, oh, honey, if you only knew.
Mm-hmm.
You only knew.
I mean, I don't blame her. I don't want to work either.
I don't.
You're just not going to go kill people.
Talking about how the commentary in this moment, because around when this movie was made, we knew that it was the most famous person around just by doing nothing. The Kardashians. That's when the Kardashians just started because of a porno.
This was during the height of their powers.
The height of their power.
This is when Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries got married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for like a month.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, but then also talk about so many people that get famous by doing nothing. Like
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jeffrey Star. No, talking about people from the decade. I know, like on YouTube, Jeffree Star, Shane Dawson, joke. Like so many like bloggers and all of the Viners, like that Cherry Girl and I forgot the other people, but there were so many people there, but it was like it's making that fun of like how so many people are addicted to fame. And I will bring up a movie that not a lot of people have seen. It's called Tragedy Girls, with the girl from Love, Simon, and the girl from Deadpool, that she is the Negasonic teenage warhead.
Yeah.
It's about two girls that are obsessed with serial killers, and they kidnap a serial killer, and they mimic this serial killer to kill people in their high school, and then they pretend that they're like, oh my God, I feel so bad for that person. Like us and subscribe on Instagram and on Tumblr, and they sell stuff because of like the tragedy that their people that their own killing. And so, oh my God, just people watch that movie, Tragedy Girls on Hulu. It's a masterpiece. I always champion that movie.
No, but it's just really sad to see stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then we see Jill go the extra mile.
The Gone Girl. Gone Girl.
The Gone Girl scenario. Yeah. Where she gets the tape off Trevor, wipes the fingerprints from the gun, puts it in his hand. So she's clear with that. Makes his hand scratch her face and tear her hair out, and you hear it just ripping. I was like, yeah. Oh my God. But then it's even worse. She stabs herself in the shoulder by running into the wall, and she's just like, ah, fuck! Just throws it. Also cleans the fingerprints off the knife, but then runs into the wall, breaks the glass. Like there's a painting hanging up on the wall, just runs straight into it, and then WWE body slams herself backwards onto the glass table just for good measure, then just gets up and collapses by Sydney. She's got like cuts all over her face, a couple of broken bones, stab wound. She really did plan the perfect crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at first that there's no way they're going to end this, because it feels like an ending.
Yeah. And this was the original ending. When we see Jill on the ambulance with all of the reporters, that was going to be the ending. It was going to be a cliffhanger.
What?
Yeah.
They weren't going to do the hospital?
Nope. The hospital is a reshoot.
That makes a lot of sense, because it feels like an ending. And then the hospital, everything that happens afterwards does feel kind of tacked on.
The original pitch for Scream 5 was going to be that it was going to pick up exactly when it left off, but Sydney had amnesia, so she doesn't remember the truth. And then it was going to pick up that someone got inspired by Jill's videos of all of the things that she did, that it's going to be a copycat trying to find that ghost face, as we know the audience that she's the killer too. And it's gonna be kind of like a battle between killers as Sydney's trying to find the truth too. That was gonna be the original pitch for Scream 5.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, fucking Weinsteins, for fucking it up. And test audiences.
Yeah, those test audiences can either make or break a movie. Sometimes it works, unfortunately, in this case.
But I love this alternate ending though. I still love it though.
They even make a joke about that. Think of this as an alternate ending.
Yeah.
You knew that was on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jill finally has her fame, and the news is covering her like crazy.
Yep.
And then Dewey comes in and is just like, hey, you doing okay? And then she's acting, and she's just like, it was Trevor and Charlie. They killed my mom and all my friends and Sydney. And then he's just like, yeah, maybe you and Gail should write a book. She's like, yeah. I mean, we have matching wounds and all. It's her big slip up.
Yeah.
She should have never said that.
And then Dewey was like, and then he kills Sydney. I was like, well, Sydney's still in the ICU. She's going to make it. And I love Joe's like, when Dewey was like, oh, fuck. And then she takes off everything. I was like, and then she goes Halloween 2 style, like going to the hospital to get dun, dun. To. It felt like Terminator 2. And so, and then she goes, and I was like, and then she sees Sydney, I was like, what are you, fucking Michael Myers?
Another great line.
Yeah.
And then just Gail and Dewey are talking, and they're just like, ah, poor kid. And he's just like, yeah, he said, she said that you guys could write a book, matching wounds and all. But then Gail is just like, how did she know that I was stabbed in the shoulder? And then you just see the look on their faces of realization. They're like, oh, fuck, she's the killer. Mm. We got to get to Sydney. And you just see Dewey hauling ass down the hall. And it's just like, Deputy Hicks, you call for backup. I'm going to Sydney's room right now.
And then, but it like just you said, goes to show like how desperate Jill is, because it's like, bitch, you got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would have gotten away with it. And you probably even could have played it off, because Dewey and Gail aren't that bright. If you would have just stayed in your room, you could have got Sydney at a later time. But you needed to be the sole survivor so bad that even if you would have succeeded here, you are now getting caught, because everybody's at the hospital. Were you just going to mass murder people at the hospital and think nobody's going to find out that it was you?
Yeah, like, you have a point, Christina, because her plan was fucking flawless.
Her plan was flawless. Yeah, she had that one slip up with Dewey, but she could have manipulated him easy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she could have gaslit him.
Yeah, like, that he misheard her, whatever, it doesn't matter. But, like, now you're going to go where it's 2011, there's security cameras in the hallway that she doesn't have access to now wipe out. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to, so let's say even if everybody came into the room and she kills everybody, Dewey, Sydney, Deputy, and Gail, there's still an entire staff of people. So what, are you just going to take everybody out? Like, no. So you can just see that her psychotic, like, you know, she's obviously psychotic, and that just took over. Like, her plan was flawless. She had this in the bag. She could have walked away from it. She could have just got Sydney later. It is what it is. And she couldn't handle anymore because she's not as pretty as everyone else, and she can't handle that.
It's just like, it's the thrill of the chase, though. You just got to win.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of, you know, shows like Breaking Bad or Uncut Gems, or I mean, that's not a show, but you know, where they got it, but then they get greedy, and then Icarus flies too close to the sun, and then they fall.
In this scenario. And then Jill is choking Sydney, and then they go into the floor, and then oh my god, the way the sound goes when Emma Roberts is on top of Sydney, and you can feel the stitches and the blood. I was like, ah, and the way that Sydney screams, and I was like, god damn it, Sydney. I was like, this is going to be the ending. It was supposed to be at the house. And then Sydney was like, consider this an alternate ending. And then we see that Dewey walks in, and then Jill hits him
with a bedpan.
With a bedpan.
Beats the crap out of him with a bedpan.
Yeah. And then we see Gail walking in, and it was like a, hey, what about the book? But then she gets fucking thrown by Judy because Jill was gonna shot Gail. And I was like, god damn it! And then Jill was like, and then Gail and Judy, and then Jill's like, give me the fucking gun or I'll blow the Dewey's head off. Come on, do it! And then Gail's like, do it! And then Judy was like, okay. And then she throws the gun. I was like, please don't do this. And then it shoots Judy like 3 times. I was like, don't tell me what to do. And I'm like,
such a teenager thing to say.
Yes.
Yeah. And then this says, like, come on, now get up, bitch. And then Judy's like, I'm going to enjoy blowing your head off. And then Gail's like, can I have one final word? As we see the bloody hands of Sydney turning up the electricity. And I was like,
defibrillator.
And I was like, god, what are you going to say? Please? No. She's like, clear. Clear? And Marora's like, and then Sydney, clear. Between the head and electrocutes Jill. And then one of the best lines in the movie. You forgot the first rule of a remake, Jill. Don't fuck with the original. Mic drop.
This franchise is just so good at making fun of itself that, like, it truly, like, there's very few moments that are actually, like, mega corny. Like, you appreciate it all. Like, you appreciate that mic drop.
Oh, for sure. And then it's just, like, everyone's like, yeah, you all good. We see that Judy survived because bulletproof vest. And then we see Jill try the supposed moment where the killer comes back for one last scare. Ah, but Sydney shoots her right in the chest. Great shot. And then she's dead and collapses in the way that she did in the house. And then Dewey's just like, yeah, we got 2 officers down. two other people, multiple injuries.
New suspect.
And he's out. And then we see the news outside is covering Jill. So she got the fame that she always wanted, but she'll never live to see it.
It's amazing. It's an amazing joke because they sound like a, we're waiting for the first statement of Jill Roberts, a survivor of the Woodsboro Massacre reboot. I was like, they put a stop in this 21st century killing spree. And then the last one, Jill Roberts of Woodsboro, a girl who lifted our spirits tonight, an American hero, right out of the movies. And we see Emma Roberts' cadaver right at the last frame. It's an amazing fucking joke. This movie's a masterpiece. You guys go on.
the cruel irony.
Yes.
And you'd love to see it.
Yeah, this... I'm super bummed that this didn't get a second set of trilogy. I think I think it had potential. I just think these movies are brilliant, and I think this is just what this franchise needed. Because it gave you this, it was a weird sequel reboot at the same time. It gave you what you loved about the original. It gave you new characters you like. I mean, you immediately got invested with these characters. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy to do, especially when you still have the original cast there. It's different when it's, okay, these are the only people on my screen. I have to find somebody to like. Hmm. But when you still have the original cast coming back in and you still find new characters that are super likable, that you're rooting for. You know, when Kirby and Charlie almost kissed, you wanted that to happen. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is great. I think this movie was great. I loved this movie. I think the twists were great. Mm-hmm. The misleads were great. They had you guessing up until the end because you had no idea what they were going to do. Two killers, one killer, some guy we didn't know, and it was truly just an actual murderer is coming and dressing as Ghostface, and it's not even anybody we know, and it's nobody that knows Sydney. You had no idea. I don't know what else to say besides this movie is great. It is the second best after the original, obviously.
Yes. And you, Billy?
Yeah, I don't know what else to say aside from I'm just really impressed, and I pray that the new one carries on the same way, where everything like Christina just said, where we get new characters that we're invested in, and it is really hard to stand toe-to-toe with the legacy cast and still be your own thing. And I think a lot of it is just because they're written like real people. They don't feel like caricatures. I mean, sometimes people do, but they're aware of that and they just fully embrace it. And you don't really see that in many movies or shows. And if they do, they're extremely rare. And yeah, I loved Scream 4. Just a lot of things I noticed on a rewatch, knowing the twist about Jill and Charlie, which, by the way, they are both simultaneously is the best ghost face and the worst ghost face, because I think Charlie is the worst ghost face because literally he's just an incel that he's just a blatant ripoff of Stu and just not as hammy or as fantastic as Matthew Lillard. And then there's Jill, who is just like, you didn't see it coming. She's got it all planned out. She's got a motive. Just everything about why she was the Ghostface killer just makes sense. And I think it's my favorite Emma Roberts performance for sure, because she's just having a great time.
And talking about the sequels. Seen
Scream Queens?
Oh, she's also she's really amazing. Good in Scream Queens.
Yes.
It's a good clapback.
And also, she has one of the best monologues. Talking about the sequels, monologues of the villains, she has the best monologue ever. Especially, this movie was ahead of its time with this technology commentary too. And even right now, we live in the era of reboots and remakes still. That's the thing. I don't know what they're going to do, the guys from Ready or Not, for the new one. And I'm excited, but I'm also nervous because I'm like, Scream 4 already did the reboot thing. How are you going to play it out for the new one? Because this is technically going back to Woodsboro as well.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll ask the question. Do you think anyone in the OG cast is going to die in the next movie?
Me and Billy were on that. Dewey's going to bite in.
Yeah, dude, his time's up, man. He just looks so worn out and just needs... He's like a dog that you love and have had for a while, but that you just know when the time is right.
Yeah, because... I think because there's the Judy's going to be a sheriff in the new one. So technically, Dewey's already retired.
Just living in a trailer.
I think when we saw that scene in the, it's really quick on the trailer, we see Judy speeding away. I have the theory that she's speeding away to try to save Dewey. Billy thinks that he's technically trying to save his son, that is the guy from 13 Reasons Why.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see it. I don't know when I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it as soon as I can, given my hopefully weather conditions, the variants.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And just time. But on that note, I just want to say, well, actually, yeah, there's really no point in rating this movie because I think we all just agree this is a 10 out of 10.
Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. So yes. With that said, I just want to thank Christina for coming on and letting us talk with her for an hour and a half about Scream 4. I'm surprised you didn't get bored and just like bail. This was fun. Definitely want mm-hmm. you back on. I know there are a couple of things because I showed you the entire slate for this year that you want to do, and we'll definitely make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I will return at any time I have a movie that I can talk about. So
sweet.
Anytime you will have me, I volunteer.
Where can the people find you on the socials, and do you have anything that is coming up?
If anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, it's at Christy_VEE_. I don't tweet very often, but apparently too much. Aaron had to turn off my notifications. I don't really, whatever. He's rude. But speaking of Aaron, Digesting Cinema is back for season 2, but we are doing it with a twist this year. Instead of doing it weekly, we are going to do it monthly. And each month we are going to talk about a franchise that is brand new to us that we have not watched ever before. So January is month we are watching the Indiana Jones movies. Both of us have never seen all of the Indiana Jones movies.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So we're gonna dig into franchises we have not watched in its entirety.
Man, that sounds like so much fun. If there is a Superman franchise on the off chance, I'll put my hat in the ring. But thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
One of my favorite people, and just with Raul, who is also one of my favorite people, I've sung his praises enough, but I can't sing enough praises for either of you. And Raul, where can the good people find you?
You can find me as always at RaulVadoRDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd, and on TikTok at RaulVadoRDC. You can follow the podcast and SYNS pod on Twitter. Please also give us a like on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a review on the aforementioned ones and Google Podcasts too. And you, Billy?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at MasterOfPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow me on Letterboxd at the same name. And you can also follow me on Instagram at BillyBatsonsLightning. Nothing is capitalized. And once again, you can give us a 5-star review and 5-star and a proper review like that asshole on Apple Podcasts, as well as Google, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever podcasts are listened to. And once again, it's at SYNS pod. And as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun.